Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. You're such a wonderful God and you love us so much. And what a privilege it is, Lord, to be called your children. And Lord, just the conversations this morning already, it just reminds me that we don't have to be perfect to come to you, Lord. You justify us. You bring us into righteousness. You're the one, Lord, that changes our lives, and you do it from the inside out. And what an awesome, wonderful thing that is for us, Lord, that we can come to you and you meet us wherever we are. And if there's things in our lives that need to be changed, you convict us, and you help us, and you encourage us. And you don't do it judgingly, and you don't do it condemningly, Lord. You do it so lovingly. And what a blessing that is to all of us, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you. And we offer this time up to you and we just invite your presence and your Holy Spirit to be here, Lord, just to guide us, to help us, to teach us as we share back and forth with one another and as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. We were talking about just positive influences and negative influences, and I remember when we started talking about within our church and just different ways that we can be a positive leader or positive influences. And you know, I think the big ones were forgiveness and don't judge and to show mercy, because we have to do that everywhere, right? I mean, but certainly within our church, this should be easy. It should be easy for us to show all of that to people inside our church. I mean, there should be very little judgment, although that's not always true, but there should be.
I think sometimes it can be a little bit of the opposite because...
Sometimes.
Because we look at people that are in the church every week, and then we see how maybe they don't behave the way they know they should be. So you're sitting back knowing, you know better. You know better. Whereas we look at people that don't come to church and we have a little bit more forgiveness for them because they don't know. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean like you're trying to be harsh on your Christian friends, but you do look at them sometimes and you're like, you know better. Why are you doing it? Or why are you... So I think sometimes we might be a little bit harder on those who are in the church because they sit in here with us every week, so we know, they know what we know.
Right. But... So. But we have to have that balance. I mean, if we're going to come against something that someone is doing that's wrong, we got to make sure that it's not just us being self, you know, being thinking that we have all the right answers and that we're right and they're wrong.
No.
And it has to be scriptural.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'm not saying everybody, but I mean, there's time you can look at somebody and be like, you know better. I mean, there's circumstances.
I agree.
So you might, I don't mean like all the time, but there's circumstances where I think that we might hold our sisters and brothers a little bit higher and have a little bit more forgiveness for those on the outside because it's just like they don't get this. They don't understand this. They're doing what they're doing because they don't get this. This isn't in their heart. Whereas people here, it should be in their heart. You're assuming it's in their heart.
I totally understand. I assume you're talking. They're really far out doing something because I found if I didn't learn anything else to grow up, but I had a cluster in my house many years. Well, you know, we've seen I had several years. And I had all different groups, and they're naturally from church groups. But we all seem to have different convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people think they can do something, and that's perfectly all right. So I think it comes down to personal.
Yep.
What we're convicted of, we best not be doing it because the Holy Spirit reminds me, and I'm sure He does the rest of you, when I fail, He lets me know about it.
You know where I have problems with that? I don't think I have problems judging people and what they do because I don't know what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I can turn away from that stuff. I have problems when people aren't in worshiping and they're out visiting. It's like, come on, This is worship time. This is important. And that kind of stuff roused me. And it shouldn't. It's none of my business. But those little teeny, teeny things that I think you come... And, I mean, CJ's the worst offender, but I can't do anything about that, unfortunately. But that kind of stuff bothers me. Yeah, maybe you don't like our worship team and stuff, but we're not here to hear the worship team. We're here to worship God.
Absolutely.
And those little things. Or when there's a big thing going on at church, and for some reason, very, very, very few people turn up for it, you know? I try not to judge them. I just don't even begin to understand that.
Right. That's what I mean. Like,
and it boils down to what Dorothy says. I'm convicted to be here unless I'm on my deathbed, and I'm convicted to be in worship, and not everybody is.
Because we are all in different places in our walk with Christ, and He knows what we need.
Yeah.
But it's real easy to look and say, okay, you know, I love worship. So when worship starts, it doesn't matter what else goes on. I need to focus on worship because of what it does and how it draws me close to Christ.
Right.
But when, you know, it makes us want to bring everybody in, right? Because you know how it affects you.
Right.
But it doesn't affect everybody.
No.
There are people that get offended because the drums are too loud. Paul's mic is turned up too much. So-and-so's off key. This person, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like focus on all the wrong things. And, you know, and we're human. So, you know, that does happen from time to time. And I think that what you said is very, very true. The Holy Spirit will convict us of what we need to be convicted of. And those are the things that we need to work on. But we need to have non-judgmental eyes when we're looking at what other people are doing. Because we don't know where they're coming from or how much of a struggle something is. So that's hard. And I think something else that we need to do in our church is we need to be able to be vulnerable. We need to be willing to be vulnerable sometimes. And what I mean by that is we need to be willing to share our failures and our successes. And I think that's really, really hard. That's easier to do maybe in your small group setting because you're really closer to the people in your small group setting. But in church, in when we come here for worship and stuff, it's hard.
You want everybody to share those. Think everything's fine.
Right?
Yeah.
But people learn, right? People learn. I learn. I love it when someone is able to share a failure and their need for Christian fellowship and when something is successful, how they got from this point to this point. That is so vital to be able to be able to share with each other. But we worry so much about being judged and we worry about what people are going to think.
We are love judged.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I know that I'm guilty. Like, I guarantee you, I probably never sit up in here and be like all vulnerable about something. I can't in my small group. But to like walk in all
that,
I'm like,
yeah.
I think that's why it's important for small groups.
Yeah. Oh, I do too.
Because I don't
want
to be, I don't like to be coot and coddle over and stuff. I'm like, no. You know what I mean? Like, well, my small group is different because we're so close.
Yeah.
We're like so close.
I don't know what I would do if I didn't have my Monday night group.
But to be like group. Up in the big part of it, like, I'm like, everybody needs to know that.
And they don't. Everybody doesn't.
I totally see what you're saying, but you're right. I think it's difficult for some people too. Because it'd be nice if everybody, because I can see the learning lesson of it. If somebody just, you know, they crumble and they let everybody see it, and then they can show you what they've done with it to build on it. That's glory to Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
But for some people, it's just really hard to be like.
But what it also is it's being real. And I think that when other people can say, oh my goodness, she's like a leader. She like does all these things and she's still struggling with this, or he's still struggling with that. And it lets people see that we're just real and we're not perfect, and that it's okay to have struggles in life, and that we're there for each other to help each other out.
We're told that we will suffer, we'll grow from it.
Yeah. Right. So, I don't know. I just imagine sometimes what it would be like if it really people could let down the guard and be real and just, you know, take off the masks and let everybody see who they are. But, oh, my goodness, everything in our society says, don't you dare. You have to stay at this standard.
Yeah. It's pretty much when people take off way too many masks and you're like, whoa.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I also have down here that if we volunteer for things, to really follow through with them, because I know that speaks a real negative when people say, well, I'm going to do this, and they volunteer, and then they don't. You know, and there's scripture that Christ is talking about, and he says that, you know, he asks, can't remember where it's at now, or I would read it. But basically, he asked two sons to do a particular thing. One of them says, yes, absolutely, I will. And the other one says, no. And then the one who says yes didn't, but the one who said no changed his mind and did. And he says, which one will be more, you know, which one is more right? Mm-hmm. And it's the one that said no and then changed his mind, not the one that said yes and didn't, because, you know, we need to be true to our words. And when we say we're going to do something, we need to follow through with it.
I like that scripture, says, let your yes be yes.
And you never know. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty black and white.
So cut and dry.
What about some negative ways? What are negative ways that we influence people? Because, you know, the reason we're looking at this, because leadership is just influencing people. We all influence people one way or the other. So, you know, when we take a look at it, are we influencing in a positive manner, or are we influencing in a negative? There. What do you think? I think being judgmental, that definitely influences people negatively.
There's such a fine line.
There is.
Between being judgmental and trying to, especially in your own family, trying to help somebody see the light or something.
I think the way is not willing to be an example.
A positive example.
I think if you're a leader and there's things that have to be done, but you're not willing to take on some of that yourself, I think you're setting a negative example for those that you're trying to influence. They're like, well, you're not doing anything, so what should I do?
A really good example of this is Bob Evans. When you go there and they are so backed up, I remember they had one manager. She would walk around and talk to everybody to the point that it was, please get away from my table. Your orders would not be coming out, and she wouldn't be back helping cook or help bring the orders or nothing. Her job, as she saw it, was just to visit with everybody, and it would drive me crazy. I think everybody
said it was cold.
It was terrible, and I thought, how can these waiters and cooks and waitresses even want to try?
Right.
I mean, they'd be running their tails off, and here she is, well, how are you today? Get away from my table.
Go get my food. Yeah.
But see, I mean, when you share that, she definitely influenced you in a negative way, right?
Yeah, most certainly. And I think everybody that's worked has, if they've worked very many jobs, sooner or later, they've come across a boss that will be very demanding, and when that little extra bit of help is needed, no, that's not their job. Their job is to lead. Well, no, that's not leading.
I think about what John Sackman said that one Sunday. What's the difference between a manager and a leader?
Yeah.
A manager just pretty much delegates all their duties, so they don't have to do nothing. And a leader will encourage and show people what their potential. I know I'm not saying the way he did it, but when he said that, I was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, that has really resonated with me big time, especially since, and I'm not trying to be like team wife, but right now I have a manager that I'm like not in love with. I have respect the fact that this person's the manager, but it's like, I don't think she knows what you're doing.
And,
you know, and she's just created a whole lot of this and what I've figured out, and you're like, whoa, we're good with change, but there's a process involved too,
and she don't care,
she just throws it at you, and that's it.
And a leader,
if you can't do it, then you're punished for it.
Yeah.
A leader will be right in there working.
Helping you figure it out.
Yeah. So there is a big difference. When he said that, I got to think about it. I'm like, it just resonated with me big time.
I think in our church also, when we come looking for what we can get instead of what we can give, that comes across in a negative influence too. Especially if we complain about it when we're not getting what we came to get. If we come expecting that we're going to get something and we don't, and then we complain about it because somebody's not doing something right, or I would be fed better. You know, people that say all the time, well, I'm not being fed anymore, and I'm not getting this, I'm not getting that. And I think, what are you giving? Because I think we need to come with the expectations of what we can give. And when we get something, that's wonderful. I mean, that's a gift, you know. But I don't think that's what we should come with the expectation of. I think we should come with, how can I help? What can I give? What can I do? I mean, doing, that's the whole point of a servant leader, you know, is what we do. It's like James, you know, what is it James says? I have it, James 2. Let's look at James 2. I mean, this is something you guys have read, probably 1,000 times. It's a very famous scripture, James 2, 14. 14 through 16. That's not right. I was in 1 Peter.
he was in the wrong
area.
2:14 says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And I think sometimes we tend to do that too. You know, I think somebody comes and we know they have a need and we know that they're struggling with something, and, you know, it's real easy for us to say, well, you know, I'll pray for you. And we do. Mm-hmm. You know, we mean it. It's sincere. And we do pray. And it does, you know, maybe it does help. But we don't go beyond that. We don't reach out and help with physical needs. And, you know, I've been convicted of that more than once. You know, I've said to someone, yeah, you know, I'm really sorry that's going on, you know. And I'll say, is there anything that we can do? And they're always, what do you say every time someone asks that?
No.
No, we always say no. You know, we say, well, is there anything we can do to help? No, you know, just pray for me. And then we say, yeah, we'll pray for you. But there's times that I've been convicted thinking, you know, why didn't I make more of an effort? Because our first initial thing is always to say, no, I don't need any help, even when we do. And I think sometimes we have to think about what we're actually doing that makes a difference, because that is very positive. You know, if you say, no, I'm fine, I just have a lot to do, you know, or I'm just not feeling very well. If someone were to come to your house or knock on your door or, you know, call you on the phone after the fact, you know, after you've said no, when you really did need help, would you maybe say yes to them then if they made an extra effort? Or would you still say no? You'd still say no? because you like to do things yourself?
Yeah.
You'd still say no?
Until I get to a point where I literally just
can't go any further.
If you're a giver, it's hard to receive.
I always say no. I don't know why. There's times that I would love to have help with something, and I'm like, no, I'll try it. I'll keep doing it and trying it myself. You know, and sometimes it's things when you really could use help. I don't know why we do that.
False
pride. Yeah, it's probably pride. I remember.
I get stuck in your ways. I mean, I've grown up as an only child, and I've always just learned to figure it out. And so I just feel like it's set that way. But that's my mindset. Like, I gotta at least try to figure it out until I just can't. And then I'll be like, well, at least I tried, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just what I've geared myself to do my whole life, is to just take care of me. I didn't have siblings and stuff, but whatever, it was me.
But as Christians, we're all one big family, right? We should be able to let down that guard and say, you know what, I'd love for you to come over and help me do this or that. I know when Doug and I are in the same small group, and I've known Doug for, oh my gosh, I had Shannon, Grace's son, in youth group.
Wow.
And he's like 40. Or something now, you know. So I mean, I've known them for a long, long time. And when they were moving, I was like, Doug, do you need some help? No, we're fine. Well, of course, later on I found that he wore himself out trying to just move everything on their own. And I'm like, why didn't you just say yes? I mean, I would have come over with my van. It would have made things quicker and easier, and you know, but I don't know. We do that all the time. I don't know why. And we're even close, you know. It's like, you're just like, no, we got this. Now, what about in our neighborhoods? What's different in the type of leadership or influence that we have in our neighborhoods as opposed to church? Let me ask you this. How many of you can name the first and last names of your 5 closest neighbors? Can you? You can name the first and last names? Now, you can't name all 5 out of one family that just lived next door.
No. Okay. No, I have Bobby, Nancy, Fig, Phil, Showman, and then I have Sabrina, Vance, Bailey, Ashley, Fillinger, and then there's Eric and Kim Masterson.
That's
fair. You lived there a long time?
Yeah.
Our neighborhood's tight. We have people moving in now.
I know the lady across the street, her name's Diana, and she's... I forget her last name. She's put it on cards. We exchange Christmas cards. And then there's an older couple across the street. They're Tony and Paul and Antoinette, and they have a difficult last name, so I've forgotten it, and I don't talk to them real often because I never really wanted to like bother them. But our neighborhood's
that's impressive. That's very impressive.
Yeah, if somebody needs something, and we're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the Luzu, on the next side down too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it should be. I mean, it's a neighborhood, you know.
I let the neighbor's kids come to my house all the time. Like, when I take off for summer, I'm like, hey, can you let the dogs out when I go to the zoo? And we just leave one of the doors open, and they come in and out, and I totally trust them. And my neighbor mows my dad's grass, and no, we're tight. That's one thing I do love about right now. My neighborhood's great.
See, it says, you know, the scripture, the greatest commandments, right? The 2 greatest commandments is love the neighbor as yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... We say, oh, well, everyone's our neighbor, so we should just love everyone as ourselves. And that makes it this universal, great, big thing that just kind of goes, well, yeah, I just sort of kind of love everybody. but to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, if we started in our neighborhoods and truly, like, treated our neighbors, you know, now I'm not going to pretend that some of us don't have some really, really lousy neighbors, right? Because I have had before.
And they move in and out so much now.
Yeah.
There's
like
a. Used to be.
Oh, we have neighbors I wish we knew about.
Yeah. See, I mean, you're going to have those. But I don't know. I'm very convicted in this area, and I have been off and on for a while because I have felt like God has been prompting me to do something, some kind of a neighborhood organization, you know, whether it's like a neighborhood watch, which can get a little weird and creepy sometimes, depending on who you got in it, or whether it's just getting neighbors together, you know, having a neighborhood cookout, just something so that
we've
people know each other.
We've done a neighborhood cookout, and we've done a neighborhood yard sale, and it's awesome because
yeah.
You know, you end up sitting on your porch, and then you go to your neighbor's house and nose around and see what they've got, and they come and see what you've got, and you just start talking.
Mm-hmm. I know the neighbors next door. I know the neighbor on the other side, but it's a rental, and they move in and out and in and out, and they change all the time. And all I know is the guy's name's Tracy. I've only talked to him 3 times, but he never comes out of his house. He's only been there about 3 months, but he's an older guy and never comes out of his house. And I know the ones across the street, like catty-cornered and across, well enough that if I see them, I'll go over and say hi or, you know, wave as we're cutting grass or whatever. But to actually know them, I don't, and it's sad. And I feel like that should change because it's actually a nice neighborhood, you know, but...
Now, I did remember that Billy Graham thing that we had when we were to go around to the neighborhood. I did do that and invited them to my house, and I got one older lady and people that later on moved out across the street dressed in the town.
Yeah.
But they always talked to me, you know, like the neighbor over here, he got a snowblower and he did my sidewalks in the driveway. And I just stuck my head out the door as he always talks to everybody. And I said, "Thanks, Chuck, for the," and he said, "Well, I remember when you did mine." And then I did think back when, you know, I was out, I loved to go out and be in the snow, and I had a snowblower, and I did go down around and did sidewalk. But I'd forgotten about it. You know, I didn't think anything about it. But he remembers that I'm working.
Oh, yeah. We remember things like that, right?
I thought to myself, do I need to go over and offer to give him some money, at least for gasoline? But then I let it go, and I didn't even do it. But
learning
from
him,
he probably would have taken it.
Just say, "Hey, thanks."
But I did thank him for doing it.
I've cut my neighbor's yard. I've shoveled their driveway and snow and things like that. Not with a snowblower, because I don't have a snowblower, but, you know, shoveled and things. And I do things like that here and there. But those are like...
Thank you for it.
Oh, yeah. They always super appreciate it, but it's like, that's it. It's like it just stops there. Like, as far as having, like, a relationship with them. This one gentleman that's two houses, he's not next to me, it's the next house down, and there was this wonderful, wonderful older lady that lived there for a long time. And of course, when we first moved in, she went around and gave me all the news and gossip on everybody. Well, they've been here for, you know, but she was just really a sweet lady. She passed away. Well, the guy that's there now, I'll bet for 5 years, I would speak to him or wave when he was had his dog out in the yard and I was outside, and he would look down. Like, he didn't wave back, he didn't smile, he would look away, look down. And I thought, wow, did I do something to offend this guy or what? And finally, I went over one time to the house next door when it was empty because the lady that owned it asked me if I'd check on something over there. And he was over there, and he said, "You know, they moved out." And I said, "Yeah, I know. I was checking on this and this." And I finally had, like, this really short conversation. And I thought, okay, you know, at least we talked. Well, when we just had that big snow a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, I went over, I saw him shoveling his driveway, and I just went over and I said, you need some help? He said, oh, I think I got it. And I said, nah, there's a lot of snow, I'm going to give you a hand. And I just went ahead and did it anyhow. We ended up staying there talking for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I really finally got to break the ice a little bit. Oh, break the ice.
Yeah, literally.
Got to break the ice a little bit, but I don't do enough of that. I mean, I need to go over in the summertime and say, hey, you guys want to come over for a cookout or you want to do something, you know? That's the kind of stuff that I feel like I need to do. So I think God keeps convicting me on that. So I don't know where all of our... I know the family across the street are Catholic, and they do a lot of things. They put a lot of signs in their yard when there's stuff coming up, you know, to advertise. And, but I don't know. I just think that it's hard for a lot of us to be that positive influence in our neighbors and to reach out these days, because mm-hmm. usually we just come home, pull in the garage, go into the house and do our thing, you know, come back out, jump in the car and most people aren't even outdoor people that sit out on their porch and you know, things like that anymore. So
mm-hmm. our neighborhood's always outside.
That's probably why you know each other.
Yeah. All the kids just run around. Plus I think we all have dogs. I think that's how we all get to know each other, is we all have dogs. So in every summer, like, all the kids congregate to my backyard. I will get kids knocking on my door. Can we play with the dogs?
Oh yeah, that's great.
Well, that's
and
cool.
I'm like, sure. So I just let the girls out back and the kids go out back and play with them, and Bailey will come back in when they're done.
And the dogs love it.
They do. They do. And then Phil has two giant Great Danes across the street. So
we have 5 acres, so we could be outside and nobody's
going to know.
We see them when we pass each other on the road. But it's a really narrow road, so somebody has to get over and off the road to let them pass. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we do know a lot of our neighbors, don't we? The only one we don't really know is Jim and the blue house and the farmhouse.
And when you live out like that, you get to know people too, just because you know you might need to rely on.
The guy that lives across the street from us, my driveway is a hill that goes straight up, and he'll come over periodically and just do things to our driveway to make it easier.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. It's great.
We have Lonnie has a nephew that lives out in Glenford, and they all live kind of away, but they all know each other. They all drive around each other's houses on their little gators or whatever they are, and they all know each other. So, yeah.
That's good. That's nice. I wrote down Matthew 25:34-40, and I didn't remember what that was because I wrote it down a while ago. And it says, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Mm-hmm. And I think about that when I, you know, that came to mind when I was thinking about, like, neighbors. And that's not just neighbors, that's anybody. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's just... Again, it's like in James. It's like, it's not always what we say or what we think. Sometimes it's what we do. Because when we do things for other people, when we actually see ourselves as a servant and we want to do something for someone and do things, I think that makes the most impact on everybody.
Yeah.
We have down here community. I have community. I don't, you know, I don't have a whole lot of ways. I don't know a whole lot of ways to be, you know, service and positive and be a positive leader in communities. I don't honestly, because of time restraints, I don't do a lot of things out in the community. I kind of, again, I feel convicted on that sometimes. I have for quite a while thought that I would love to set up a prayer thing. I don't know. I thought at TC Park, the Tractor Supply Company, TSC, somewhere down in there. I also thought about downtown. And all it is all I've thought about is just like popping up a little, one of those little pop-up canopy things and just being available and putting up some kind of a little thing that says, you know, do you need prayer? And just being available on a regular basis and see if people come. I've thought about that for a while, but I don't do it. I just think about it. And then I don't move forward with it. And I don't know why. I mean, I say it's because I'm so busy that getting it started and everything is hard, but I've thought about things like that. I've thought about, you know, there's lots of organizations that you can get involved in.
Heartbeats.
But, oh,
that
yeah,
was
Heartbeats.
Very satisfying to me.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing it.
Yeah, I mean.
I've been able to do it for a while, but I loved it. I'd like to get back to it.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I wrote down a few. I wrote the women's shelter, like the battered women's shelter. That's not what they call it anymore, but. Hospice, Lincoln County Aging Program, the jail, Lincoln County Jail, Red Cross, Lincoln County Coalition for Housing, Habitat for Humanity,
so
Big
many.
Brother, Big Sisters, you know, Carol Strom Center. There's like tons of stuff out there where people need help. But, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and write some things down and name it, but getting out there and doing it is sometimes a different story.
I have actually volunteered at the Carol Strom Center before. It is those people.
Where is that?
Church.
It was in the Carol Strong Center. It's an adult daycare for Alzheimer's dementia patients.
Oh, yeah.
These people are so fun. They are so fun. They will just sit and do puzzles and just play little games. I mean, I don't know. It's a blessing because they're, I mean, when I volunteered, I didn't have Lonnie come in with his guitar once, and they all sat in one room, and it's amazing what music does. Like, they it's like they all knew exactly what was going on every minute, but,
will bring an Alzheimer's patient to the present, like, nothing.
And it's a blessing to sit with them and just help them with puzzles, or to help them with their lunch, or sometimes they don't hardly say anything, but they just kind of smile. Mm-hmm. It is, it's a blessing. It is, it's a real blessing. Very, very cool. Yeah. Very neat.
I think
that'd be more to go with somebody else that's doing that, like you were doing that. I could go along, but I'm not like the leader.
Yeah.
And I'm more of a go along with it.
But that's exactly what we're talking about, servant leadership.
Like, my husband was more for, come on in. When I started Cluster, me, I was kind of, but I loved it.
Yeah, once you get
but
started.
But I just wasn't.
That's exactly how Tina is.
Go get her to get out there and me do it on my own.
That's exactly how Tina is. Tina will sit by and watch opportunity after opportunity go by, but if I initiate something and she goes with or whatever, she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, you know, and I wish, I'm not trying to talk about her bad because she's not here, but I wish that I could get her more motivated to do things without me.
My husband's the same way.
Does that make sense?
If we go do something, all of a sudden I watch him do all this stuff, and I'm like, why don't you just go do that? And he's like,
on my own. She is a powerful.
So I think you're not talking bad about her.
She is a powerful prayer warrior.
Mm-hmm.
She is. She knows so much scripture and stuff. I mean, she reads and studies, and I'm just like, you know, I keep telling her, I'm like, you have got so much really cool stuff to give, but she just sits quietly and, you know, nobody really knows. And I'm like, you gotta. I wish I could just kind of get her out there. But, yeah. I mean, that's.
I'm that person.
You're
my
that person.
My husband is the outgoing one. That's why I so badly want him. I want to follow his lead here.
Yeah.
I'm not a leader. It's everything I can do to get up and get my kids to come to church with me and leave him at home. I need him to come here so that I can just tag along.
Then you can tag along.
That's what I need. But, yeah.
Well, I can do it myself.
I'll bet you can. I bet you've been feisty and can do stuff on your own all your life.
I wasn't the one that said, I can't do it. Of course, I was put in situations to have to do
where you had to.
Much of my life.
I think the other thing, and we're kind of out of time. I don't know if that clock's right. That's 9:50. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing, one kind of, I wanted to just like in our circle of friends, you know, that was the other area. It was kind of like I sometimes see Christians, and this is probably a little judgmental on my part, and I'm sorry, but I see Christians that are, they're one way here, and a different way here, and a different way here, and it really just kind of depends on who they're with, and, you know, it's kind of chameleon-like, you know what I mean? Kind of like you change with whatever situation or whoever you're around, and you know, to me, sometimes that doesn't come across in a positive way to me. That comes across in a negative way to me.
Yeah.
And you know, there's times that I don't know. I think I'm just the same person, but that's me looking at my perspective. But I think I'm just the same person here at work, at home, or wherever I am. I just am who I am. And I've got lots of faults and lots of issues and lots of stuff, and I'm aware of it. But I don't know. I think that if we're just a true friend, let me ask you this. How many of you, all of your friends are Christians? Are most of your friends Christians?
Yeah.
All your friends are Christians?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part. I mean, all of our friends that we used to hang out with every once in a while that weren't Christians have
become Christians.
It's almost like they weeded us out and they don't want to hang out.
Yeah, no, they don't. We don't get invited.
Or
like
you
we
drift
to.
Away from them.
And we do.
You
yeah.
with them.
Or they
moved
away. Yeah. I just, when he said circle friends, I'm thinking, they're my church people.
That's
those are my
friends. Yeah, I have maybe two friends outside of that are not Christian, and other than family.
Right.
Yeah.
Even
at work, a couple of the girls that I find myself a little more friendly with, they're both Christians.
Well, we are drawn to
I
people.
I feel like I just gravitated that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, we are drawn to people
friends.
Like us.
And I have Facebook friends that aren't, but I don't feel like they're my
friends.
That they've just become more acquaintances. Like, there's just all, it's all just, yeah.
Well, the ones that are really not Christians have weeded me out of their Facebook.
Oh yeah,
and that's fine.
I weeded them out
because they
too.
See my posts, and I'm sure it's offensive to them, and that's I'm not going to stop.
Or convicting them.
Or convicting them.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden,
I'm okay with them.
I am too.
I don't do a lot of posts. I don't know if you ever see me post.
No.
I comment on things here and there, but I don't.
I didn't even know you were on Facebook.
I'm not a Facebook fan.
Yeah,
well, Tina's on there all the time. She could live on there, I think. But I'm like, she'll put something on, and I'll text her and say, "Aren't you at work?" Yeah. But you know, it's. I've just not been a real. I think I don't have time. Facebook takes too much time.
It does.
For me.
It really does.
It's because I look at things and then I don't even know how to sort it out. Like, I don't know how to make sure that what I'm looking at is recent, or if something's like 6 months old and somebody commented and it jumps back up and I look at it and I go, and I'm just confused.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to take the time to figure out all
it's
of it.
It's funny because I have a friend that's on Facebook that will comment on stuff like, "I'm praying for you," and the person was well
Months ago.
Long ago, do that. Because you only get on Facebook, and then all of a sudden everybody knows he's on Facebook, and he'll just go through and like everything. Rachel's like, I can tell he gets on Facebook because he likes everything. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't know what he's looking at. Like, and then we'll be like, if I don't like it, what if they get mad at me for not liking it? I'm like, they don't care. Nobody cares. I mean, do you pay attention to what you're liking? Because you might be liking things that you shouldn't be liking. Well, I don't know. I just start clicking like. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I think we're done. We're out of time here. We're going to move on next week.
Okay.
I think it's time to move on. I think we
make a church a house of prayer for all nations.
Yeah. All right. Anybody want to close in prayer? Thank you.
Father, just thank you so much for bringing us all together this morning. Lord, we thank you for Ron, we thank you that he takes the time to put stuff together so that we can learn your word and that we can sit and talk and that we can enjoy what we're learning. Lord, we ask that you be with Pastor and his message today. We ask that you be with worship. And Lord, we just ask that you be with everybody here. And we just ask that the church be Holy Spirit filled this morning. And we thank you and we praise you.